Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia, alleluia. See, I couldn't say that last week because although some of you may have been listening to the show on Easter Sunday, some of you might have been listening on Good Friday evening or on Holy Saturday during the day. And because that being the case, of course, I didn't want to ruin it for you because there's nothing quite like, is there, when we hear the Alleluias for the first time after a long Lent. A long Lenten season, a holy Lenten season, a good Lenten season. When we hear those Alleluias again, it does lift my heart to the Lord. And that's exactly what it means. It means praise the Lord, right? That's what we're saying. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. And we are praising the risen Lord Jesus, who has come and died on our behalf for our salvation and lifted us up into the promise of the resurrection and of new life and of everlasting life of him with his holy and heavenly Father. Wow, Patrick Conley with you again in this Easter season. And again, you know, I do a lot of emphasis about the liturgical season of the year and that sort of thing. And part of it is, I'll admit, just because I am a bit of a liturgical nerd. Liturgical correctness is important to me, and I appreciate that. But also, and especially in these times, these rather unprecedented times when we are sheltering in place and practicing social distancing, staying at home and that sort of thing, I think the need is ever greater for us to engage in liturgical practices. Now, on our own, certainly, but we can engage in liturgical practices because liturgy, as you probably well know, literally means the work of the people. And it is our role in any liturgy to participate, not just to be a spectator. Liturgical action is not a spectator sport. Liturgy is not a spectator sport. We are meant to be participants in the liturgy. So what can we do? Well, of course, we can take in Holy Mass online or on Relevant Radio here. We can take in Mass by watching it on TV. There's lots of ways we can do it that way, and those things are important. Another thing we can do, I mentioned this last week, we can continue the liturgical action of giving to our parishes. We can send in because they're in need of our financial support, especially during this time when there aren't collections. So that is a liturgical part. It's a part of the Mass, is our giving, and it is part of our participation in the Mass, giving in gratitude for all that Christ has done and given for us. Another thing we can do, we can enter into, if it's not already in your habits to do a daily, have a daily prayer time, that is definitely something that we can do to engage liturgically with the action of the Church. Whether that's a daily rosary, a daily Divine Mercy chaplet, as we're coming up on Divine Mercy Sunday here, perhaps some of you are listening on Divine Mercy Sunday, that's a way we can do it. But I, for me, for my two cents, it would be the Liturgy of the Hours, the prayer of the Church, which is meant, it's structured and designed to bring us from one experience of the Holy Mass back into the next experience of the Holy Mass. And so, in a sense, it moors us to the Holy Mass, even when we're not able to physically be present at Mass. It still moors us spiritually to the Mass. So the Liturgy of the Hours is a great way of doing that. Or some, you know, some version of the Liturgy of the Hours, such as those prayers which are found in the Magnificat, for example. Morning and evening prayer is found there. You can find various apps that have recourse to the Liturgy of the Hours. You can find online sites that have recourse to the Liturgy of the Hours. So I would encourage you to find something liturgically that you can continue doing to engage in the work of the people. Just a thought, too, coming from our second reading this Divine Mercy weekend, which is from the first epistle of St. Peter. It ends with this sentence that says, although you have not seen him, seen Jesus, that is, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, yet believe in him, you rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy as you attain the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And I just thought that was a good encouragement for this time of sheltering in place, that we're used to seeing the Lord, albeit under the sacramental species of bread and wine. We are used to seeing him, right? But now we're always seeing him through a screen, some sort of a television screen, if at all. Maybe we don't have the opportunity to see him in adoration. Some priests have been very active in bringing the Eucharist out to the streets so we can at least adore in that way. That's fantastic. Thank you, fathers, for doing that. But we don't see him now, but First Peter reminds us that we still rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. And what a great Easter joy that is. So be liturgical in some way, and don't forget to have some Easter joy, even though we don't see the Lord in the same way that we do now. All right, so what do we got coming up on the show today? We've got Joel Stepanek, who's he's going to be a speaker on young adult, our Archdiocesan Young Adult Day, and he's going to talk a little bit more about the ministry to young adults, what's going on with young adults, what's important in the lives of young adults, how can we be intentional about reaching out to young adults. We also have Ann and Jordan Spinharney with us. It's a great story. I'll let them tell it to you, but it's on how their wedding plans got changed because of the coronavirus and how they ended up getting married not when they were expecting to and in a much different way than they were expecting to. And then Mary May and Karen Freihammer from Relevant Radio right here in the Twin Cities, 1330 AM, are going to be with us. Talk a little bit about the Christ Brings Hope banquet, which is being altered slightly this year to become the Christ Brings Hope broadcast. So that's the exciting stuff we've got coming up on the Rediscover Hour here today. And let's, as always, pause here at the top of the show. Give the show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. As together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My first guest is Joel Stepanek, who is actively and passionately involved in ministry. He has been for over 10 years. He's the Director of Resource Development for Life Teen International. He's a regular contributor to the Youth Specialties blog and a member of the Franciscan University Steubenville Conference speaking team. And perhaps his best aspect, if you ask me, is he's an avid Packer fan and owner. Joel, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Hey, it is so good to be with you.
It's great to have you with us. All right, I have to ask because I am a Wisconsinite. I grew up in Wisconsin. I live in Wisconsin currently. I just got to ask, so how long have you been an owner of the Green Bay Packers?
Oh, man, I think close to 10 years. It was the last time they sold stock. My now wife, then fiance, I think we were engaged at that time, bought me a share of stock as a Christmas present. It was a great surprise.
Wow.
Total confirmation that I was the right person.
Yes, you chose wisely. That was well done there. Well, Joel, it's great to have you on the show. Tell us a little bit about your job as the Director of Resource Development for Life Teen. What keeps you busy on a day-to-day basis there?
Yeah, and actually the job has shifted a little bit since that bio was written. So currently serve as the Vice President of Parish Services.
Oh, wow.
At Life Teen, which is a lot of fun. I direct and empower groups of people, our teams that serve parishes directly through empowerment, training, catechetical resources, and direct contact. So our goal is to empower passionate Catholics to help young people become authentic and fearless evangelists.
That's fantastic. All right. So when you say young people, are you talking what we would typically consider youth? Are you talking what we consider young adults or kind of all across the spectrum?
Yeah, for us, we really focus on empowering parishes to reach teenagers, so middle schoolers and high schoolers. But as we do that, we are actually empowering groups of young adults, adults and older adults, even seniors, to be able to make that happen. So when we're working with youth ministers, oftentimes we're working with people who are between the ages of 23 and 39, which for a lot of dioceses is young adult, but all ages, and then looking to also empower families in how we help moms and dads empower their young children to learn the faith and grow in relationship with Jesus.
Wonderful. Now, about specifically, let's talk about youth for a moment. We want to get to young adults, but let's talk about a little bit about youth. What are some of the things that you have seen in your years of ministry, specifically with youth? Have you noticed any changes in how the youth are either engaging more with the faith or less with the faith? How are things going with youth these days?
I think one of the biggest markers of change has been that teenagers are becoming, on a whole, just in general, less religious. And there's a lot of factors for that. One, culturally, religion is not as much of a centerpiece or foundation as it once was. And then two, more families, and this is just broad stroke, are less religious. And there are lots of interesting things we could get into about why that's happened, but it is what it is. Now, that's the challenge. The opportunity in that is really leaning back into what does pre-evangelization and charismatic teaching look like, because more young people don't have any notion of who Jesus is, but that also means they don't have any preconceptions or misconceptions about who Jesus is. So I'm finding, and we're finding, that when you present the gospel to a young person, it speaks into the world in which we live. And there are actually less barriers to being able to do that, or less things you have to untwist. So we're working with more of a blank slate, which is a challenge, but also a really great opportunity.
How would you describe pre-evangelization and charismatic? Did you say charismatic teaching?
Yeah. So it really focuses, and what we're looking at as we create resources and train parishes, is to try to let go of the curse of knowledge that we all have, which is, think of all the things that you and I know as disciples, stuff we really take for granted about, well, why did Jesus have to come? Why did God have to be made man? Why did Jesus have to die on a cross? Why was his teaching so impactful at that particular time? And why does following Jesus matter today? Why go to church? What is the Eucharist? And so letting go of those things to start at like the most basic level, the way the early apostles did, and finding entry points into the life of a young person, and not having to say, how am I going to bring Jesus into your world, but let me help you identify where Jesus is in your world already, so that I can make explicit what is already there and help you see the God who's been chasing after you and wants to give you the gift of faith so that you can believe.
So today's youth are, of course, tomorrow's young adults. And I'm just curious if you've noticed some of the same patterns in your work in and around young adults as well. Are they becoming less religious by, you know, in nature or in upbringing and that sort of thing as well?
Yeah, we're very utilitarian when it comes to knowledge, and especially as people go through a university and even through, like, if people go through a Catholic school. A lot of young adults today, and this kind of starts as a teenager and even continues into adulthood, they're busy. And so people are saying, well, what do I need to help me achieve what I have been told is happiness or success? Financial security is a huge thing for teenagers and young adults. Many will say that happiness is equated with financial security. So what helps me be financially secure? I should get a degree. I should find a good job. I should really focus on developing my skill set and my passions and my career. And if you haven't been raised in the faith, or you haven't had somebody help you understand who Jesus is or why Jesus matters, that can be something that feels very much like a hobby or a philosophy or something nice if you're into it. But if I'm not, well, what do I really gain by being a disciple? And maybe nothing, any more than if I decided, well, I really like to work out, or I'm really into this television show. It sort of becomes this hobby that is nice for you if you like it, but if I'm not into it, I don't see how it makes a difference for me. And I think that's one of, the challenges that we face is the question, especially in American culture, of, well, why does that really matter? How does that help me get ahead? Does that really help me be happy? And of course, we know it does, but it doesn't equate to what people have been told happiness is,
right,
which more and more people realize is maybe not the full story.
Right. And I was just going to ask, too, what would you say to those who might challenge the notion of we need to start at this very utilitarian way of looking at happiness and looking what a fulfilled life looks like and that sort of thing that is present in the minds of the non-religiously engaged young adults and youth? It sounds like you're saying, well, you got to start there. But what would you say if somebody critiqued that and said, well, yeah, but that's only reinforcing their view of what happiness is?
Yeah, I think it's to pull on that thread a little bit, which, depending on who you're speaking to, can be tough. The other reality that young adults face and teenagers face is there are just higher rates of mental illness that people face. People are not as happy as they used to be. There's more diagnoses of clinical depression and anxiety and a feeling and a sense that our world is not as it ought to be. Mm-hmm. So if you start to pull on that thread and say, well, why isn't the world as it ought to be? And why do we struggle with finding fulfillment? And when we find that thing we think is going to make us happy, why aren't we actually happy for long? And you enter into those dialogues, and I think as the bishops have talked about, as Pope Francis has talked about the idea of accompaniment, we really lean into that, and that's the reality of ministry today, is accompanying young adults on the journey to ask those questions, to provide answers, to be present to the major moments of life, and to lean into this sort of companionship to say, let's talk about where you're at and helping you see Jesus in these moments. Because I think it's exposing the lie of that utilitarian, well, if you get the right job, if you marry the right person, if you make enough money, if you have a really great hobby, those things are going to help you feel happy and fulfilled. If you start to talk to people and sit down over coffee, over a beer, whatever, and start to ask those questions, they say, well, yeah, I guess I don't know. I don't know that that's all that there is. And then using those as the moments and the entry points to say, well, it's sort of like Paul did at Mars Hill in the area of Vegas. Like, yep. Hey, let me show you this person who you maybe have heard about or is present culturally who actually provides a foundation for joy, which is something different than happiness and is something stable.
Yeah. Well, and I just think that there's, I like your approach in that you're engaging them with what the depth of the profundity of what real or true joy or happiness fulfillment is, and yet at the same time it sounds like you're about when you say pulling on that thread, you're encouraging a bit of curiosity there as well, just saying, well, wait a minute, what actually are we pursuant after when we're talking about being happy? And that's great.
Yeah.
Looking at it from a different perspective, now I know quite a few young adults who are actively engaged in the church. Now, that's to say, that's not trying to counteract what we were saying before, because I know that as a population, a lot of our population is shifting away from the church. There's these religious nuns, N-O-N-E-S, who have no religious sort of formation or background whatsoever. But what are some of the great gifts that the young adults bring to the church, those that are engaged with their faith, those that are living out the life of a missionary disciple? What are they bringing to the church these days?
So much. I think when I think about young adults, what I'm very encouraged by are Jesus's parables and sayings about being salt, about being leaven, in that we don't need a lot to really make a huge difference. And I think if you have young adults at your parish who are wanting to be missionary disciples, who are excited about their faith, to really make use of them in ways that are meaningful. So I think gifts that they bring are gifts of leadership. A lot of young people, we're talking about young adults today, who are one of the most educated generations in history.
Yeah.
Lean into that. Make sure you have some young adults on your parish council and a diversity of young adults. When we talk about young adults, it's not a homogenous group. You know, you could have two 23-year-olds sitting across from you, one of whom has been through military service and is married and has a child, and one who is still in college. You know, you could have people who are in their late 20s who have already been divorced, and you get people in their late 20s who have never been married. And so having a diversity of young adult experiences represented in your parish is good, but having them present in leadership roles that are meaningful and that are not just sort of a token role, I think are critical. using young adults to do reverse mentorship. A lot of companies are leaning into this in just the big corporate world, which is I'm going to pair a junior staff member who is in their mid-20s with an executive who's in her 50s. And that junior staff member is actually going to sit down and help walk through different aspects of technology or culture or emerging processes to help teach executives things that they wouldn't necessarily know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great framework even for senior leaders within the church, whether it's a pastor, a deacon, the business administrator, even within a diocese, to bring in young adults to say, all right, we're going to do some reverse mentorship. So you're going to teach me some things that I need to know, whether it's about technology or social media or emerging processes in education, you know, leaning into the skill sets that they have as an educated generation. And what happens is they're empowered to teach. We learn in the senior side of the church. And then there's also an immediate connection between somebody who also has something to give to a young adult. That's very organic. And so a lot of big corporations from Google to Apple are using this type of reverse mentorship with young adults to great success. So I think that's a piece. And then I think empowering young adults with a community is a way that we can actually help foster them as missionary disciples who go out. They right. will share the faith. That's why at Life Team we're talking about, hey, we want to form authentic and fearless evangelists. Our goal is not just to help teenagers learn the faith, but to help them feel prepared to go out and share it. Young adults will get into places we can never go as a parish. They fit into all the cracks of the world and find people who need to hear the gospel too, those nuns. And I think if they have a safe place within their parish where they say, this is my parish, I belong here, I am affirmed here, I come here on Sunday, whether I'm live streaming the Mass or I'm at church, we're all able to blessedly go back and receive the Eucharist, but this is a place I want to bring people. So I think a parish in turn to really leverage the gifts that young adults bring, which is being able to get out into the world as salt, is how we created a parish environment that a young adult family, that a single young adult, that young adults who are dating, that, you know, whatever walk of life, that they feel like this is home, and it's a home that they want to bring people back to.
Love it. Love it. Well, Joel, we only have a couple seconds left, and I just thank you for all of your wisdom on both the youth and the young adults and all the things that they have to offer and ways we can respond to some of the challenges they're facing. If people want to stay connected with you, Joel, how might they best do that?
You know, you can find information about me on our website, joelstepanek.com, or, you know, my Instagram account, which is at @LT_JStepanek. Those are the best places to connect and be able to chat.
Wonderful. Well, Joel, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour. God bless you and your continued work.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
All right. So Joel is going to be a keynote speaker at our Archdiocesan Young Adult Day, which has been postponed. It was scheduled for May the 2nd, but it's been postponed. But they are planning on putting it together yet just to serve the young adults in our community. We're going to go into our first break. When we come back, we've got Ann and Jordan Spinharney with a unique tale of their wedding. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Are you near retirement? Don't let taxes and fees chip away at your retirement savings. Those little charges add up quickly and eat away at your hard-earned nest egg. That's the last thing you want. Take control. Build lasting retirement security with an annuity from Catholic United Financial. We offer a safe, secure place to preserve your money with a guaranteed rate of return. And no annual fees, no transfer fees, no account service fees, no hidden fees, none. Nada. We guarantee a competitive interest rate no matter what the market's doing. Maximize your savings. Transfer funds to a new Catholic United Bonus Plan annuity and get a first-year bonus interest rate. Honor your faith with Catholic United. Over 140 years of people helping people. Go to CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. That's CatholicUnitedFinancial.org/safe money. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey. We're there for life. You can borrow mine when your hope is gone. Borrow mine when you can't go on.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. And our next guests are now husband and wife, Ann and Jordan Spinarney. Ann has a master's degree in Catholic studies from the University of St. Thomas. She's also a faculty member at Trinity School at River Ridge. She says she's the middle of five children from an awesome Catholic family. And Jordan also has a master's degree in Catholic studies from the University of St. Thomas, served for 2 years as a focus missionary, and works as an IT business analyst. Ann and Jordan, first of all, congratulations. I met you both through the cathedral. So congratulations to you, and great to have you on the program.
Thanks, Patrick. Good to be here.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, so... set us up. We just want to hear the story. All right. So what were your wedding plans before COVID-19?
I'll start. So our wedding plans were to get married on April 18th, the day before Divine Mercy Sunday. We're going to get married at Holy Family Catholic Church. It was going to be a big, happy Catholic wedding. It was going to be over 300 people. Ready to go, and obviously that got foiled rather quickly and suddenly.
Yeah, and when did you begin to realize that, hey, this isn't going to work out as we'd planned, Jordan?
Yeah, so probably the week before the feast day of Saint Joseph, I had just moved into an apartment where we would end up living once we were married together. And, Anne was over and we were talking, and, she was starting to, say, hey, I think we need to think about moving our wedding. And I'll be honest. I was pretty stubborn about that at first, did not want to change plans, didn't want to, ruffle feathers, shake the boat. So it took me a few days to come around, but probably by, I guess that would have been Friday the 13th. We were starting to talk to our parents. We talked with some friends. I kind of called like 70 people on one day and said, hey, if we kept our wedding as is, would you still come? And most people out of state were starting to say no.
Okay.
And people in state, were still supportive. But the situation was evolving so fast.
Mm-hmm.
One day we would make a decision based on that day's info, and the next day that decision was no longer valid.
Right.
So by that Sunday, the 15th, we had spoken with Father Johnson, our pastor, a couple of times, and he said, I talked to the Archdiocese. They said, it's okay. We can have an exception for your wedding even if public masses are canceled. And once we got that word back from Father Johnson, we were both like, okay, we're going to do it. We're going to do it this Thursday, Feast of St. Joseph. Here we go.
Yeah. So you said that you really started the conversation on the 13th of March, and you ended up getting married on the 19th of March. Is that right, Anne?
Yeah, that is right. It was really rapid. And those days were so short and so long simultaneously.
Right.
We had to plan a whole wedding in the midst of a crazy, rapidly evolving pandemic, and get our families up here as much as we could. And my job was changing because we were going to online schooling, and it was just insane.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really quick.
Did you have your dress already, Anne? Just out of curiosity.
God was so providential for us throughout many times. I actually, I thought that my dress would be ready the weekend before our wedding on the 14th. And I went into my seamstress, and she was like, your appointment's not for another 2 weeks. And I was so surprised. I was like, what? I thought it was done today. She's like, no, but it was so fortunate because then I was able to tell her, can you get it done? And she's like, yeah, I'll get it done. So she really came through. She's an awesome Catholic mom in the Twin Cities area who does seamstress out of her home. So she was really awesome and got it done for us.
Wow. Wow. And what other kind of preparation, was involved? Because obviously this was a much, I assume, a much, much smaller gathering than what you were originally intending. How did you get in touch with everybody and kind of let people know, hey, this is what's going on? Just a series of phone calls and emails? Is that it? Or did you post something about it? Jordan?
Yeah, so kind of all of the above.
So like I mentioned, that Friday the 13th, I texted and called, something like 70 people, most of whom had said they were already coming. But, you know, we were focused in on people who had said they would come to our wedding in the first place. But that was just the guest list. Then you had the caterer, you had the DJ, you had the photographer. And some of those things were just simple, hey, we're not having this big reception anymore. Mm-hmm. We're shrinking it down. We're moving up our wedding. You know, we don't need catering anymore at this point. But things like our photographer was like, well, we would still like a photographer there if we could.
Sure.
So we worked a lot with, and a shout out to KT and Ben Nelson, really helped, worked with us to make it really special for us from a photography standpoint. They even brought in a videographer for us, which was wonderful. But yeah, a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails. And then, you know, so Sunday night, it was like, okay, we will have we'll go to a restaurant with, you know, we'll have our wedding mass and we'll go to a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And then Monday it was, well, restaurants are closed. So now we need to do something else, you know? And
right.
So, the end result was we pared it down to our immediate family,
mm-hmm.
and anyone from our bridal party who was willing to come. Some of them were in town because they live in Minnesota. Others were out of state. Most of the out-of-staters, you know, chose not to come. Totally understandable. They all have families and so on. But all of Ann's immediate family made it. Sadly, my brother, who's a Franciscan priest, Father Isaac, did not make it because he's in Ireland. I have a sister who's in England. She's a Franciscan sister. She didn't make it. And then my poor little nephew got sick the night before. So another one of my sisters had to stay home with him. So not all of my family made it in the end, but my parents were there, which was the most important thing for me. My dad has terminal cancer. And that was a reason why we chose to move it up, is we were really concerned that if we waited till April 18th, he might not be able to make it to the wedding.
Sure.
So we had about 25 people. We did a small catered meal in the basement. Afterwards, we rigged up the church's basement PA system and had a little dance party. So we really made the most of it.
Wonderful. It sounds like it was as best as could be hoped for. It sounds like it was a pretty joyful event overall, just a little bit smaller than what you were planning on. Now, tell me a little bit about the significance of being married on the Solemnity of St. Joseph, Anne.
Yeah, so it was totally shocking to get married on his feast day, because that feast day has been just such an important day for me for many years. So when I was discerning my vocation in college, out of nowhere, St. Joseph really started coming on my radar. I went to a come and see weekend at a convent, and the sisters were really encouraging us to pray to St. Joseph for clarity on our vocation. And I started praying to him, and it just was really clear, like, he's the patron of families, I was called to family life. And during that time, a friend's dad, who I barely knew, sent me a book all about St. Joseph out of nowhere in the mail. And I was totally shocked. And I was like, okay, like, I think St. Joseph wants to be my friend and is asking for me to ask for his intercession. And pretty remarkably, he became a really important person to me after that. And I prayed him a lot, particularly for my future spouse. So much so that when I graduated from college, my dad was like, hey, I want to take you on a trip for graduation. Where do you want to go? And I was like, I want to go to the Oratory of St. Joseph in Montreal. And so my whole family made a pilgrimage to the Oratory, and I remember very intentionally lighting many candles for the husband there. And over the years, being a parishioner at the cathedral, I've prayed at the side altar to St. Joseph. Throughout our dating life, I prayed specifically for Jordan there. And so when it was really heartbreaking for us to have to change our wedding, and just really awful, but it was such a silver lining that we're able to have it on the Solemnity of the Feast of St. Joseph, because it was so meaningful to me. And on our wedding day, it was really beautiful. Jordan and I exchanged letters, and I gave him a icon I had gotten from my pilgrimage to Montreal that was of St. Joseph. And he just became a really important patron to us that day, I think.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Jordan? Did you have a devotion to St. Joseph prior to all of this coming together?
Not directly. I think as a Catholic man, especially going to like a Catholic college and being in some of those more devout circles, you hear about St. Joseph a lot, especially in regards to masculinity and fatherhood and being a husband. Maybe the only comment I'll make that kind of caught me in a good way was I was not aware that the official title of the feast day was St. Joseph, Husband of Mary.
Right.
And it wasn't until Father Johnson's homily, actually, that he called that out. And that really struck deep with me, just because, as a man in our culture today, there's just a lot of currents to fight against in seeking to be a man of God, to be a husband of God. And I think God knew that I was going to need a really strong advocate in my corner, learning to be a good husband.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as Father Johnson called us Sunday, March 15th, and said, "We're a go for Thursday," I just said, "I'm all in. I totally believe this is mm-hmm. providence. God wanted us to get married on St. Joseph's feast day for many reasons, and I think one of which was to give us, but me in particular, that strong link to his patronage as a husband and hopefully, God willing, someday a father."
Yeah, yeah. Well, I will say this, that God willing, if you do become a father, I know that you're going to get some pressure from your marriage celebrant to name any sons you have Joseph, but maybe you do have a little bit of an excuse if you decide to go that way and getting married and on the Feast of St. Joseph, and since St. Joseph has had such a profound effect on you and on your marriage. So just a couple minutes remaining, just wanted to ask you, there are clearly couples who are in a similar situation. They're wondering what to do in terms of their wedding plans now, and they're looking down the road, maybe a couple, 3 months down the road, and saying, "I don't know, are we going to be able to get together then?" What would you encourage them to do? Anne, let's start with you.
Oh, man. We felt so lucky because we were kind of right at that outset, so we're able to still have 25 people there in a full mass. I think the thing that I would just say, I mean, practically it's going to be challenging, but emotionally it's very hard, I think, as well, just to kind of surrender your wedding and what you expected and what you hoped for. And I would say just try to remember that the sacrament is a sacrament. And that's really what it's about. Even though it was so hard to have so many things stripped away and it was kind of a dying process, to let go of some of those things, I think we really were able to enter joyfully into the sacrament and kind of keep our priorities straight, which was a grace. Another thing I would say is just that I was really worried it wouldn't feel like our wedding day. It would just feel kind of like this thrown together strange event, but it really was so good and it felt so free and joyful. So as couples go through the inevitable pain and loss that comes through the implications of COVID-19 on the world and on weddings, I just remember that Christ is there and that the sacrament is a sacrament regardless.
Yeah, very good. Jordan, how about you? Any words of advice?
Yeah, first, just echo everything that my wife said. And I would just add, my father-in-law told me when I asked for his blessing to ask Anne, he said, communication and commitment, those are the cores of marriage. And he said, commitment is there for when communication fails, as it inevitably does. And Annie and I endured a lot of emotional and relational stress during that probably 2 weeks that we were changing our plans. So really, really, really encourage the men and women out there facing these decisions. Be patient with each other and with yourselves. Please pray for mercy for each other and for yourselves. This is a very, very hard thing to go through, very challenging on many levels. And the devil's frankly going to try to get use this as an opportunity to get at you and to attack what you're trying to do, which is ultimately enter a sacrament. Pray to Saint Michael, pray to Saint Joseph, Blessed Virgin Mary, and really ask for patience and mercy with each other. And then seek counsel on a more practical note. Seek the counsel of people you trust, whether it's your parents or other adults, mentors. And then lastly, act with courage. There's no right answer here. There's no right answer. So.
Right. Wonderful. Well, Anne and Jordan Spinharney, it's congratulations to you again. It's been a true pleasure to speak with you. And sounds like the Lord did provide in some pretty amazing ways and will continue to do so. May he continue to do so throughout your marriage. God bless you both.
Thank you, Patrick. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to head into our next break, and when we come back, we've got Mary May and Karen Freihammer from Relevant Radio talking to us about the Christ Brings Hope broadcast. Stay with us. Rediscover.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
It's like family, and I'm so comforted and edified and inspired. It's a gift, and you're all fabulous.
When you listen to this radio network, you know you're not alone on your journey. Yeah, it's tough. The hills and the mountains are sometimes really steep. But when you listen to The Inner Life, when you listen to Relevant Radio, we hope that you can walk away feeling emboldened, maybe just feeling a little bit better about who you are and knowing that you're not alone on the journey. And there's so much consolation in that, that with God's grace, you can walk through a lot of these things that we all deal with.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives, allowing us to focus on our programs and future needs. Donate now at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or tap on the banner on the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Tammy Berthume, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. And speaking of Relevant Radio 1330 AM, we have two of our in-house staff on the phone with us now. Mary May is the Network Development Manager for Relevant Radio here in the Twin Cities. She's also a fine consultant for this Rediscover Our show. She's given us lots of help that way, so we're grateful for that. And also Karen Freihammer, who's the Senior Development Director for Relevant Radio. She's also the proud mother to June Fenn, who prayed the litany in time of need with Archbishop Hebda for Relevant Radio, as well as for our own Archdiocese and for our nation. So welcome, Mary, and welcome, Karen.
Hello, Patrick. Thank you, Patrick.
So good to have you both with us. All right, so I have been looking forward ever since it was announced that April 24th would be the Christ Brings Hope Banquet, the next Relevant Radio Christ Brings Hope Banquet. I had been looking forward to that, and when I heard, of course, of all the COVID-19 changes and everything, I was disappointed because that is such an amazing event, such a wonderful time to be together. But Give our listeners a little bit of an idea. What is the Christ Brings Hope Banquet about, and what were the original plans?
Well, we were very excited to invite our listeners here in the Twin Cities to join us Friday night, April 24th, at the JW Marriott at the Mall of America, so that we could celebrate the hope that we find in Christ. We also are honoring the Little Sisters of the Poor for the heroic witness they give in caring for the elderly poor. And we also were excited to have many of our show hosts join us for a special meet and greet, an opportunity to meet Patrick Madrid, another Patrick, Father Rocky, and Father Simon. It was really going to be a big family gathering of Relevant Radio friends, and we expected about 900 people, and that was to take place a week from this this coming Friday, April 24th.
Mm-hmm. Wow, wonderful. And Yeah, Karen, what's been your experience with the Christ Brings Hope Banquet in years past?
Well, we started off with about 240 people, our first one, and it was filled to the brim. That was the space we had. We honored Kathy Laird, our dear Kathy Laird, who's brought so much to her archdiocese in terms of family formation, and it was a delight to honor her. And we found there's great demand. People love to gather and celebrate what they have in common, faith in the Lord and evangelization and bringing new life to so many people and hearing the testimony. So through the years, we've been able to honor some wonderful lay people and our own Archbishop Hebda. And it's just been an opportunity to celebrate hope. That's why we call it Christ Brings Hope. So we still wanted to celebrate hope. No coronavirus is going to get the best of us. So
amen to that. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Let's use the tools we have. We're all about media, bringing Christ to the world through the media. So let's bring hope to the world through the media, as we do every day. But let's have a virtual event. And we're really excited. We think it's going to be a lot of fun. So we will gather virtually same day, April 24th, Friday, April 24th. So folks are going to want to put it on their phone calendars so something beeps at them at
right.
6:20 and they scramble over to their TV or their computer or their radio and video stream the event. So we will gather virtually. So this is going to be a very unique Christ Brings Hope celebration, one we'll never forget, I'm sure. And we're very, very hopeful that it's going to be a great experience for people, very different than what we planned for, anticipated. But we have a God of surprises, and we're hoping very good things are going to come out of this for listeners, for our community, and for our Catholic school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before we get into that, I do want to ask. So, Mary, I'll ask you, who was the first one who said out loud? I'm sure everybody was thinking it, but who was the first one who said out loud, "We might have to cancel this event"? When it comes to Christ Brings Hope,
I'm not sure. This past 3 or 4 weeks have been such a whirlwind.
Yeah.
You know, we have a wonderful group of volunteers that gathered together to assist with some invitations that we were mailing out, and you know, at that point, there were COVID-19 cases in several major cities across the United States. Nothing here in the Twin Cities yet. But we knew that it was something that we'd probably have to, we'd have to make a decision about how our event might be affected. So it was a couple of weeks, I think, before we really realized we were going to have to put our plans, our plan A, to the back burner and have something, you know, really bigger, better, more exciting. And the idea of a national broadcast came to the surface. And so now we're just so excited because we'll be able to share the great witness of the Little Sisters of the Poor, not just with our Twin Cities community, but across the entire country and even globally, because everyone, everywhere will be able to participate. If they're listening online, on the app, Karen mentioned you can live stream this event and even put it on your TV. So definitely something broader and bigger than we had initially planned.
Right. And I don't know if we mentioned the time, too. It's 6:30 p.m. is central when we start. Is that correct? Okay. And we'll hit that again before the end of the interview here. But Mary, I wanted to ask you, too. You mentioned you brought up the Little Sisters of the Poor, which were your chosen honorees for this banquet from long ago, and they're still be honored this year through the virtual broadcast of the event. Can you give us just a brief description of who the Little Sisters of the Poor are in case people don't know?
Yes. Well, they are an international congregation of Catholic women religious. They were founded by a beautiful woman and now saint, Saint Jeanne Jougan. She's from the country of France, and that's where their worldwide home is, mother house. And their mission is to offer the neediest elderly of every race and religion a home where they can be welcomed as Christ, and they're cared for as family, and the little sisters accompany them in a beautiful way, full of respect and dignity for who they are, that they, again, they represent Christ. And in the homes of the little sisters, no one ever dies alone. They're always accompanied on their final journey. And it's just a beautiful testimony to the dignity of every human person. And it's so needed today when our culture of life is threatened in many ways around us. So we're very, very excited to lift up the little sisters as a great example for all of us.
Wonderful. And Karen, you had brought up the schools benefiting. Can you run us through that, the matching gift as well, which I believe is still in effect for this year's broadcast of the banquet? Is that correct?
Right. It is. It is. We're so, so grateful to our anonymous benefactor who is putting forward a $300,000 matching gift. So folks can really bring hope in two ways with one gift. The one gift to Relevant Radio to help us keep doing what we do, providing spiritual encouragement, formation, companionship, not only to folks in the Twin Cities, but really throughout the world, and to participating Catholic schools in the Twin Cities area. So we can really ease the financial strain that a lot of families are feeling, particularly now as some are, their jobs are affected by COVID-19 and that sort of thing, and they might be trying to figure out how they're going to make their Catholic tuition payments. So this one gift to Relevant Radio, the donor can select a participating Catholic school to receive a matching gift, which will go for tuition assistance. And this will be available until the end of May, this gift, and there are two ways you can give. A good number of our Twin Cities friends may have received a mailing. And so it probably came about a week ago. So if it's in your mail pile, go look and you'll see it sitting there just waiting for your response. Or you can go online to our relevantradio.com, go to the Minnesota events page, and you will find the information and the link there to make your gift and pick the participating Catholic school that you want to receive that matching gift of tuition assistance.
Right. Wonderful. Well, a huge thank you to your anonymous donor who is doing that to make your gift to Relevant Radio also so effective for Catholic schools throughout the Twin Cities area. And Mary, we've just got a couple minutes left here, actually about 1 minute left, and I just wanted to have you run through the details of the event once again, just so everybody is aware of when and how they can tune in to the Christ Brings Hope broadcast.
Yeah, so again, it's Friday, April 24th at 6:30 p.m. We will start the broadcast. We'll have a half an hour to celebrate the hope we have in Christ, to honor the little sisters. We'll have special presentations from Bishop Cousins as well as Archbishop Hebda. And that will, first half hour concludes with then an invitation to stay on air and join us for a rosary across America with Father Rocky as our host. So it's a full hour, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m., April 24th. And you can listen online on the app. You can tune in on 1330, and you can also fire up the computer or your iPad, and there'll be a link from relevantradio.com so you can tune in and watch the live stream with your friends.
All right.
And
April.
The matching gift, again, go to Minnesota Events at the relevantradio.com webpage to participate.
Wonderful. All right. Well, Mary and Karen, God bless you. Thank you so much for all your work for Relevant Radio in the Twin Cities, as well as putting together this great broadcast. I look forward to tuning in.
Thank you so much, Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick.
All right. We're going to head into our final break. When we come back, we've got more from Paul and myself about things going on, even amidst the pandemic. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Hi, this is Matt Burke, former Minnesota Viking and Super Bowl champion here for Catholic United Financial. Did you know Catholic United Financial is now a $1 billion company? Not bad for starting over 140 years ago in a St. Paul church basement with $635 in change. They aren't the biggest, but they're absolutely rock solid when it comes to your finances. You don't get to $1 billion in assets by being anything less. They've sold life insurance from the start, when it was about people pooling their resources to help each other in times of need. They also provide ultra-safe and secure financial products, like annuities, which are a great complement to anyone's financial portfolio. And they now offer Medicare Supplement Health Insurance for those 65 and older. Maybe it's time you aligned your finances with your faith, like my family did, and join a $1 billion financial company you can trust. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Look them up at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org. Everything I am is for your glory. Everything I am for you alone. Everything I am is for your glory. Everything I am for you alone.
And we are back on the Rediscover Hour. Just a reminder for the latest up-to-date news on COVID-19's effects around the Archdiocese, please go to archspm.org/COVID-19 without the dash. Again, archspm.org/COVID-19. And on that page, you'll also find resources of where to view Masses online and on TV.
You can also check daily Mass and devotions right here on Relevant Radio. Join us Monday through Friday for daily Mass at noon with Father Rocky, Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 p.m. with Drew Mariani, Sunday Mass at 9 a.m. and noon.
And remember, the parishes are committed to serving you in the midst of this pandemic, so please continue your financial support, your financial service of them, of your parish, at this critical time. Visit your parish's website to learn how to give or give to the Minnesota Catholic Relief Fund at ccf-mn.org.
And are you wondering how you can be a witness to the resurrection during this pandemic? You can still sign up to receive local evangelization updates. Go to archspm.org/evangelization. Enter your email address.
And here's the info on the Christ Brings Hope Award National Broadcast. Once again, tune in for that. It's going to be Friday, April 24th from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Central Time. Father Rocky will host this event to honor the Little Sisters of the Poor and celebrate the hope we find in Christ. All are invited to tune in on air, online, and on the app with a live stream for viewing at relevantradio.com. The event concludes as Father Rocky leads the Family Rosary Across America at 7 p.m. Central, and more details are available at relevantradio.com/events. Or go to events and then click on Minnesota. So happy Easter, Paul.
Happy Easter to you. I was always saying that this was the lentiest Lent that I've ever lented.
I love it.
But it was a very different Easter, but still a joyful one.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
It's still Easter.
It is still Easter. It will be Easter for 50 long days after Easter Sunday, which is fantastic. That's a good thing. It's a good reason to celebrate.
We Catholics know how to party.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, and even in the era, in the time of social distancing, we still know how to party.
Amen.
That's what we got to do. Part of that is listening, of course, to the Rediscover Hour. Coming up next time on the Rediscover Hour, we're going to talk with Hazel Jordan on her work to help the homeless through street ministry. Also, Catholic speaker and an employee of the Diocese of Green Bay, Julie Ann Stans, and she's going to talk a little bit about the Office of Evangelizations here, our Missionary Discipleship Series. And then finally, Kate Johnson is with us again on her coordination of a virtual 40 hours Eucharistic adoration through Facebook Live. That's what's coming up next time on the Rediscover Hour. We're going to stay with you throughout it, thick and thin, weekend broadcast, so keep on listening. Stay at home and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturdays at noon, and Sunday afternoons at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.